Thanks for tuning in to Jin and Tantra. In this episode, we reflect on the last 4 years and the variety of effects that this time period has had on our lives today and moving forward. We are happy to have conversations that are not being had anywhere else. We thank you for joining us. Enjoy the episode.
Welcome to Jin and Tantra, spirituality with a twist. The podcast that takes Tantrism, Buddhism, Taoism, Sufism, Kabbalism, Shamanism, Chinese, Medicinism, and all of the other isms we've been influenced by, and blends them into a tall, crisp, cool cocktail your spirit has been longing for.
I want you to get together.
Now, isn't that refreshing?
I want you to get together.
Hey, fellow GNTers, those of us who like our spirituality with a twist. So we have a number of things in the docket of things to do. We hit on Dr. Neil Thies, and we want to do a follow-up to his episode. We had a great episode last week with Phaedra Chantal, which was really fantastic. We have our Taoist stuff about the things that can obstruct your life. But sometimes what happens, and Daniel and I are talking during the week, is one or the other of us will have an inspiration for something they really want to talk about it. And this is something they really want to talk about. And this was Daniel's week to have this inspiration. Related back to the way you're describing it, Daniel, like you had just a lot of people who were like recollecting back to aspects of the pandemic. So I'll throw it over to you, and you kind of like, I'm curious how you're thinking about this, and we'll just kick it around a little bit.
Yeah. So like Eric said, as the week goes on, you know, Eric and I are both seeing patients and having various, you know, I think decent discussions with people about life and stuff like that. You know, Eric and I are both acupuncturists, herbalists, and things like this. So we're doing our normal treatment stuff of pains and, you know, digestive stuff and sleep, or you know, whatever people are coming in with. These are common, so I'm just mentioning them. But then for some other people, there is, I think, an aspect of wrestling with life a little bit and looking for some different perspective, different philosophy, and then marrying that with kind of like a treatment plan to try and help people as best as we can see things differently, accept things differently, let things go, make more space, whatever, you know, however it is that we talk about it. But over the last few weeks with some patients, and one in particular this week, but a couple of patients over the last few weeks and some personal friends over the last, I don't know, maybe month or two, has been the conversations have been more focused around like post-pandemic life. And they came up independently, but then I felt like this week it kind of came to a head because I had two really long conversations with a new patient and then with a friend of mine this weekend. And I didn't lead the conversations at all, or at least I try not to, but that's where they seem to end up going. And I have had this thought for quite some time. And so I figured let's do it, you know? And so the aspect that was kind of, I guess, inspiring for me to want to talk about this on here is that, because no one else really is from my vantage point. And we were talking before we started recording about, you know, just some kind of world events. And this is not a political podcast. You know, once in a while, we'll throw out some jabs. You know, if someone says they're going to build something, I may say, well, who's going to pay for it? We all know. we know that line. So we were kind of talking about that. And I think that part of that is what's moving the conversation, if you could even call it a conversation, but moving the zeitgeist forward right now with what's going on internationally. It's an election year. There's all kinds of stuff that you could be, we'll say, distracted by. I'm not going to say pissed off at, but we'll just say distracted by, you know, on top of our own issues of whatever our life has going on in it. The people's lives are still happening. People are still having babies, still getting married. People are still passing away. People are still getting ill, and all, you know, all these other things. So what I'm wanting to bring to the forefront of the conversation, though, is that in 2020, and I'm pretty sure the date was March 13th, And I could have looked it up before, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm gonna just use that as the date. But no one that I can remember, and again, I'm only one person, and Eric, you can say, and I'm really interested in the audience. So guys, please, you know, hit us up at Jin and Tantra Podcast on Instagram or jinandtantra@gmail.com, or leave a comment in the YouTube here. People are not talking about the anniversary of the lockdown. At least in this country, right? I mean, I'm only framing it within the United States. I know we have a bit of our audience that's international. So for you guys, that date might be a little bit different. But for us here, it was like early mid March. March 13th is from what I remember correctly. And so what I'm saying is that there was a specific day, a line of demarcation. I like to use that phrase, when we could say, okay, pandemic started that day. We knew it was coming a couple days before, but that's the day that it started. And people run into the store to get toilet paper because who knows, you know, they, whatever, you know, panic buying all the things. But there was this, you know, this fear that was sort of placed upon society at once. And I don't really remember outside of 9/11 in my lifetime, and Eric, you're a little bit older than me, where, and maybe the Cuban Missile Crisis before that, but where there was like a collective over the entirety, like it cross-sectioned all of the populations, right?
Yeah, young. Right. Like 9/11 and then this are the two ones of my lifetime. I can't think of anything else even vaguely analogous, right?
Yeah. I mean, again, the only thing that comes to my mind would be like the Cuban Missile Crisis, something like this, you know?
Those things.
So, other than that, but like everything else, and not to minimize things, but, you know, certain weather patterns will happen in a certain area. Some diseases may be more prominent in a particular subset of the population, and not to minimize their experience, but to say it doesn't get into the larger populace, you know. But these things they happen over the entire thing, and that is a mass level trauma, if I can call it what I believe it to be. It's a mass level trauma that happened at once. Right. And so we mark a day. And so we have a day for 9/11, right? We don't even say the year. You just say 9/11 and you know what that day is, right? We were talking a little bit about this on the phone the other day, so I'll just kind of rehash it again. But if I say December 7th, most people know that, but some people might know it's the bombing of Pearl Harbor, right?
I admit, like, I didn't get that one when you said it. I was like, you know, is that the day
John Lennon was military
shot? Person. Like, is that the day he was shot, John Lennon? I mean, I was trying to like come up with it.
No, but there's, you know, there's
a big event in my life. John Lennon got shot when I was a kid. I mean, as far as that goes.
Right. Right. So there, okay. So there's a few days. So, but for me, with an event this large, it's surprising to me that we don't have an anniversary, you know, and from conversations that I have, and I want to open it up, Eric, to hear what you think. I definitely hear myself and other people saying pre-pandemic, post-pandemic. But the pandemic it's referred to as basically something that's like 2020 and post, and pre-pandemic is obviously pre-2020. You know what I'm saying? But that's not exactly what it is it? That's not, it didn't happen at the, it's not just 2020. It's March. It's specific, and there's a day. And so what I'm saying is, because that day is blurred, because we don't identify that day as the beginning of something, because we don't mark anniversaries, we're actually not done. It's not over.
It's an interesting take. I remember the day very well because it was a special day for the two of us. Because I'll remember it the rest of my life. I was driving around with my daughter and we knew she was going to be locked down. I was like, we got to get this girl some weed. And I called Daniel. I went to the local dispensary here in Chicago and I was like, well, this is crap. I called Daniel and said, hey, do you have anything you could spare? Daniel was like, yeah, come on up. We drove up there, did a little bit of shopping, and it was true because you really know what was going to happen. And it was like, okay, we're going to be locked down. We won't even get any weed for my daughter. You know, she's going to be trapped here and need something to chill her shit out. You know, you went to the store thinking, you know, the shelf's going to stay stocked. Like, you didn't even know, you know.
Well, and
like,
that, because for people who don't know,
had a weird energy of like anticipation or something. There was something kind of, because I came up to see you and there was something kind of vaguely, I don't want to say giggly about it, because there was nothing really giggly happening. It was scary, but there was also that weird reaction to the fear and the uncertainty of it.
Yeah.
Kind of an odd euphoria or something. I don't know how to describe that.
Well, and Eric, you were, you know, you had said so at weed was legal on January 1st, 2020.
Yes, that's right.
In Illinois. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah. So we're good.
I'm keeping my options open just in case I want to run for Congress. So you know.
Yeah, yeah. It was totally no problem. It was just like just a hand off of a legal thing. Like, you got an extra six pack? Yeah, sure. Like, no, that was it. There was nothing nefarious happened. And the giggly feelings were before the weed was consumed.
For sure, definitely.
There was some kind of weird energy.
Yeah.
It was a very strange ending. Maybe because I was with my daughter. She's kind of a very fiery person anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Sagittarian girl. You know, there was a lot of this sort of young energy going around just for me personally. So I remember the day. It's weird that we don't market. That's true. You know, we don't. And we talked a lot about repression in the past year or so of this show, and it makes you think, okay, did that thing get repressed? They just decide, okay, let's just sequester that one off. Mm-hmm. Those years over here.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's just not talk about that. You know?
Yeah.
Does sort of feel that way, probably. You know, yeah. The point is, like, there's nothing commemorating it.
No.
You know, there's not a, you know. And it, like, it's kind of like when you brought up the thing of talking about it, my real reaction was, I don't know what I think about this, which might be what a lot of people feel. I don't know. I was like, okay, these events happened. I don't know what I think. I don't know what I don't know what I think about the subject on some level. I don't know what I think it meant ultimately. I don't know if I don't know what it meant actually.
Yeah.
I was trying to think, did things change? So I'm curious what your patients said. Did things really change for people? Did they not change?
Mm-hmm.
The society change or not? That's what I was thinking after our conversation. Mm-hmm. Did this change or did this not change? Well, before we get into that, maybe what were people saying? Did they feel like, okay, yeah, I'll throw it over to you. I'm curious.
So there's a couple things here, right? On the first hand, on one hand, one of the reasons for me to do this, for want to talk about this, is because there are some episodes that I use as references for friends and for patients. So, you know, like, this is one of our ways in which that we can log thoughts and conversations that we end up having frequently to go back and say, hey, here are some things that I've touched on before. So as an extension of this conversation, please go see this podcast episode. So when we did the one about doing the Zen meditation, because I teach lots of people to do that, I go, hey, check this episode out. It's going to an hour and a half breakdown of this practice with some commentary or whatever. Very easy, very nice. So this is one that I want to have. I'm going to bookmark for people and whatnot. So that's kind of one. And the idea partly is to start the conversation, to start getting the people to think about it. Because I think, to your point, Eric, a lot of people don't. I mean, they'll know if they have someone has passed away. You know,
I was thinking, you had losses. I have to confess, like, I didn't have losses.
Right.
My mom's 83. She got COVID at some point later on, but she's like, everybody, you know, for me was okay. So I didn't have that personal, you know, whammy thing happen in that sense.
Yeah.
You did lose people, right?
Yeah. Yes, I did. Yeah. I lost. Yeah. I lost a close friend in particular. And then it was just sort of surreal doing his, you know, funeral outside. Well, you know, I played music with him, so we had kind of like an outdoor funeral drum circle basically at the beach right in Rogers Park in Chicago, where he lived, right across the street from where he lived. And it was just kind of a surreal thing, you know, but I was proud in a sense to be able to have that kind of send off for somebody. I was like, well, if there's ever any momentum to move somebody towards their next spot, this is how you do it. You know, what a wonder. And I thought at a moment, it kind of brought tears to my eyes at the point at that time. I was like, what if I met him to help him do this? You know, what if this is how we celebrate the life of one of our musical, you know, compadres, is to send them off. You know, anyway, so I don't want to get too deep down the tangent, but it came to my mind.
That was the thing that, like, of the conversations you and I personally had of being, that was the one that was strong.
Yeah.
You know, like, we obviously talked at the time about all that, and it kind of like said, okay, this happened. You kind of described how it played. It was like, oh, okay, you know?
Yeah.
And then the events afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
I guess on some level, I didn't have that personal connection, but you really did.
Yeah.
But what were people talking about? Do they feel like there's unsettled business for them, or?
No, it's that there's changes. So I've kind of had a couple conversations with people once I knew that we were going to do this, but before we're doing it, after it was a thought, you know, desired, uh-huh. then we're in this middle time. I wanted to talk to more and more people about it. And some of the very similar ideas came up. Now, granted, I talked to mainly women, mainly suburban women who do fairly decent in their lot, you know, in their career. So I realize it's a subsection, but then I also spoke with a couple of people who were middle to lower class, you know, some minorities and, you know, as many people as I could basically in the last 4 or 5 days. And there are some similarities actually. So one of which is, I think, again, just from what I talk to people about, is that the pandemic was the first time in someone's life, in their adult life, that they stopped looking so far forward because mm-hmm. the future was so uncertain. It was like staring into a sandstorm or a blizzard. You couldn't see that far. You didn't know what life was going to be like, if it was even going to be like, because no one knew anything. And so on one hand, this can bring up anxiety and unease for many people, which it did for sure. Financially, like health-wise, I mean, there's many reasons why that would be, you know, an anxiety-ridden time. But then for some people who were not as strapped, right, financially, because that there's like, you're only on one side or the other side of that coin, you know?
Yeah.
If you're not on the side that's strapped, but you're on the other side that you're like, okay, I'm okay, you know, like I'll be able to survive either with the money that we're getting from the government or with what you had or whatever situation was, people were able to focus on the moment. And I think what ended up happening, at least for some of these people who are professionals, they didn't feel the need to push themselves as much. Mm-hmm. Like that drive to acquire more and more and more decreased because you had a glimpse that you didn't need as much.
So, you know, the question, it's staying on that point just for a second.
Yeah.
Do you think that stuck with people or no? Because I was trying to remember those events, like what was, I don't know, going on and like, you know, particular instances of how people were talking about it and things and that, like different flashes. But there was the whole idea of like, what were they calling it? The Great Resignation or something? They were calling it something.
Yes.
Was it the Great Resignation? Was that the term?
That was afterwards. Yeah.
Oh, that was more afterwards.
A little bit more afterwards.
The whole idea was that people were sort of, and you brought this up as we talked during the week, that people went through this sort of existential thing,
mm-hmm.
which I guess is what part of what you're talking about here too, right? There was something that happened, but people started really thinking about their lives and saying, hey, you know, maybe what I'm doing here isn't exactly how I might ideally use my time, right?
Yeah.
On this here mortal coil. But I don't know. That's the part that threw me in the whole thing when you brought it up, because I was like, I don't know if that really stuck or not. So did people feel like it stuck with them, or was it something they had for that window of time and then it just kind of like flittered away?
So there's a couple of people who gave some different answers. One lady said, if my job ever asked me to come into the office 3 days a week, I would quit on the spot.
Okay. So her thing never went back to the pre-pandemic kind of vibe.
Correct. Another lady whose job, she could be in the office or not. She does design. So it doesn't really matter. You know, for her, she has an office, but she's not always going in because, you know, whatever. Yeah. And what much of what she's doing is working across state lines anyway. So you're not necessary. But there was more dinners and more schmoozing, you know, if you will. Okay.
Yeah.
But the bigger point is that they value their time much more, and for a couple of them are having a harder time going back to that pre-pandemic grind, you know, just mm-hmm. putting your head down and like going forward. And yes, I understand.
That's what they were sharing with you as patients are going, yeah, this is not easy for me. I'm like,
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And now granted it's, you know, it's 4 years that have gone by. So somebody who was in their mid 30s and now who is 40 is 4 years older. And so maybe there's a different phase of life or whatever, but I hear this even with my 30-year-old patients, you know, and that's not old. And then, yeah. I mean, 40 is not old either, but like we could say, okay, more life, kids, who knows, whatever. Right. But they, and so I told them all, you can never be the same person twice, especially after you've seen that you don't have to do your wants, your needs are different. And one of them said that she values her time much differently now than before. Much so when she goes into the office now, she goes, oh, I'm good because I'm getting some steps in. I'm more active. You know, she's a different person in terms of her what she does work-wise. It's a lot of international kind of working. But then other people who are grinding more were able to do that. And so their shift is, how do I get back to where I was previously? Because now I'm working even harder, you know?
Okay.
The shift has moved them to work even more and more and more.
Why did that happen to those folks? What happened in their lives that pushed them that way?
Some of it was out of necessity to cover for expenses. Financial things like this. And some of it...
Because in economics, it's still been funky. None of this stuff is going to be normal. It may never be totally normal again.
I mean, that's one of the underlying things. I mean, we don't do a ton of econ on this podcast because I don't think you and I are particularly well adept at economic...
We're only like so-so.
I've definitely not... I've had economy courses, but it doesn't matter. But the economy has changed in a number of different ways. So there are more people who might be more willing to, or less willing to go to the store, you know, or less willing to go to the movies. Part of which is they're just more comfortable doing stuff at home, right? Mm-hmm. They're used to ordering things and having them delivered, you know, including groceries. I mean, getting your groceries delivered was a weird niche thing from Peapod way back in the day, you know? And now every single grocery store will at least do in-store pickup where you can just drive your car up and they'll bring it out and stick it in your trunk. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's so many different things that have changed like this. I mean, we don't have time to go over all of them. But what I'm saying is that some of the things that changed during the pandemic because we wanted to have social distancing or not be around other people are still here. And I could tell you many, many people that I talk to, there's other things that were more uniform, and that's being in large crowds, you know, still not quite as much. I mean, you could go to any concert and you'll find thousands of people swapping spit and sweating on each other. And now, you know,
we had Lala going through here. There's like, you know, everyone, you know, like,
yeah,
my daughter and my son, and they went and they came covered in mud and probably various weird fluids that were somehow laying in the grass. And
and this happens, but there's but a couple of my you know, patients and clients mentioned that, like, they don't even really go to the movies anymore, not because of anything, but specifically because of it's dirty. And they're like they're not germaphobes, they're not against vaccinations, they're certainly not getting any more, you know, but they still think about it. They're like, it still lingers a little bit.
So maybe we'll circle around this thing from different directions and we'll see where it is, right?
Yeah.
But I was thinking, okay, you brought this point, and it looks to me like there's always this kind of, like, especially for things that concern you, but I think for both of us too, there's always like an individual level and then there's like a societal level, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Daniel, the beloved Capricorn, there's always like a societal level, right? And so I was trying to think about that. What would we say about that? And I really had to look and say, okay, so what was that like? Remember, there was those initial things that happened where they'd have the videos you'd see where it'd be all kinds of people in some Italian city and they'd all be singing the songs out on their balconies as they were social distancing. And there was that initial sort of like rush of
euphoria,
kind of spirit. And then that lady who plays Wonder Woman, they tried to do that song, Imagine, and everyone really hated that. That turned out really bad. Gal Gadot.
Mm-hmm.
They all tried to sing Imagine. So there was a sort of this weird feeling of the ups and downs of the feeling of, like, are we going to communalize this? Is this going to be sort of a shared experience, or is this going to be a divisive experience? Or, like, what's going to happen?
Yeah. Yep.
And at least as far as America went in the end, you know, it got to be, I'll see what you think about this, but it got to be same shit again. So I think that was part of my thought about it when you brought this up. I was like, did this change or not? Because then you thought, okay, this is the same shit that always happens on the broad level.
Mm-hmm.
You can disagree with me. I'm just throwing it out.
Right? Yeah,
what you think. But, like, you know, the vaccine thing happened. I took the first ones, right? I got the proverbial jab because I thought, well, this is a community thing we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we could argue whether or not you think those are good or bad, the side effects and all these other. But that was certainly entrepreneurial. There was money at stake and people grabbed it, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there were those big social programs. It's hard. I haven't thought about it, but remember, all the money was going out from the government, but it was all being grabbed, you know?
Yes. Oh yeah,
by the all usual that. Suspects in the end.
Oh yeah, all the PPP money was being stolen. I mean, my gosh.
And you're like, this is fucking business as usual.
Yeah.
You know, after all the, you know, people singing on their balconies and shit, you know. And I, for people who might be listening from Europe, you know, it wasn't like in the United States, they supported the people who had got quarantined. It didn't work that way. I think in England, they just paid people salaries. Okay, we asked you to stay home. Let's pay your salary. That did not happen here.
No.
You know, so all of a sudden it was like a bunch of people were just thrown out and it became predatory very quick. And you could see like, okay, that started the whole real estate thing.
Mm-hmm.
These people can't afford their homes. We'll do the usual fucking American shenanigan thing. And some big corporate thing will step in and just vacuum up all these properties again. Like 2008, same fucking shit.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to use some of the F-bombs, but it just, that's what it is, right?
That's what it is. So that's what it is.
It's what it is. And I was like, oh my God, this is business as usual again. You know, nothing changed in this, you know? And I was trying to think, okay, did it change or not change? There were some things that changed. You know, we were home. We didn't commute as much. Some people still are able to work from home. I think for a lot of us, it's already veering back to where it's only part-time at home if you're home at all, right?
Yeah.
So some of that changed around. The whole idea, we'll all be on Zoom for the rest of our lives, that didn't quite work either. But I thought that was just because we're not letting those people stay home. Screw that. You got to come to the office so we can watch you. We're not going to let you enjoy your house. You got to work. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Back.
Even though we proved you could do it.
Yeah.
Nah.
Still no.
We got
HR these, wants you watched.
We got these 15-year leases at the in these buildings that we got to, you know.
Yeah, justify existence. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, is that the way you felt about it? I was like, I don't know if this really changed at all. It all looked like there was this shock that maybe could have changed the culture, but it just didn't in the end. Like all the usual things that I associate as quintessentially American unfolded.
So, you know,
all the same shenanigans and the same schemes and the same con jobs and the same, you know, on this big social level. I know. Do you feel that way too or no?
So what you had mentioned in the beginning of what you just said was that you have an individual level and then a collective level.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Without an individual or individuals, you cannot have a collective. You know, and so maybe on the collective level where you were, and on a collective, we'll say you also have like larger entities like corporations, business trends and market forces, we can call them, you know, we said we weren't going to do economics, but yet here we are, you know,
because we got
to touch on it a little bit, you know, that on a collective level, no, it's business as usual, you know, banks buy up houses. So the market for housing decreases because they're not selling them, they're renting them. That's how that game works. And so then your number of houses on the market goes down, which means the property values go up, which means everything goes up, and then interest rate, all that other stuff. So that's a whole different conversation, right? So yes, on that front, and that's just one example, that's a thing, right? Business as usual. In addition, they remembered that they could just continually raise prices. And so
this kind of greedflation thing happening,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
We'll sell you the same amount, but we'll show you the same price, but you're getting less.
Oh yeah, totally. Yes, exactly. It was 10 ounces before. You'll be happy with 4, and it's the same. You know, but you say the prices didn't go up, so that's true. But yeah, they're doing that. So that's like on the collective level. Yeah, on many of those things, it's the same. And some of the differences, like ordering your food and, you know, whatever, being more at home, having your things delivered, whatever. These are adapt changes on a macro scale, but on a micro scale, which is, you cannot have macro without micro. Like I said, I totally think there was differences. I think for me, in my mind, that for many people, COVID was like a collective post, like a trauma. And so what we're experiencing is a post-traumatic stress syndrome, you know, after that, and the way that people are going through it is going to be different based on their individual, we'll call it karmic factors or individual genetic factors, or, you know, their own bodies and families and learnings. You know what I'm saying? And so but the issue is that because it is not really discussed, it's like a memory that we don't really want to talk about, that it's not being collectively discharged. So collectively, we ingested it. We got injected with it, if you will, you know. But collectively, there is not a release. And so for me, as somebody like yourself, you know, we talk about Taoist theory. Where is the cycling? Where is the natural cycle that comes through like it does, you know, for those who have four seasons every year, right? The spring opens, the summer is the full blossoming, the fall is the beginning of the retraction where things start to die off, and then wintertime you go back in and you start the cycle over again. It's more complicated than that, but generally speaking, that's the cycle. So we've begun, it fully expressed itself. There was some aspects of some things kind of going away, like the mask mandate and getting together, and you know, all this is kind of like, you know, normal-ish for the most part again. But there hasn't been the full time to like let everything go or let some things go, I guess I could say, and then move into the place of reflection. So at least for myself personally, I wanted to do this as a service for people who might still be feeling some kind of way about their experience now and how different they were pre and post COVID, as a means to begin this process of reflection, moving them into, you know, the water element essentially, you know. Which is, you know, for people who are not familiar, a place of reflection, I guess we could say a place of increasing storage or, you know, something else like in the wintertime.
You regroup and you re-reflect or something like that.
Right? Yeah.
You can look back. You go back to the past and you can kind of reconceptualize or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like the thing that occurred to me with it was maybe the reason people don't want to talk about it was just because it wound up not being the communal heroic, and I'm going back to the social level, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
It wound up not being that communal semi-heroic endeavor that maybe you thought was going to be in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And you could walk away feeling just kind of like, okay, it was that. And you walk away feeling kind of disillusioned or something, right?
Sure.
Because like even under, you just sort of realize like even under a situation like that, the same modus operandi continued.
Yeah.
The big wheels kept on turning and kept like grinding over the same poor people.
Mm-hmm.
We're stuck under them. Like, you know, it was one of those things where like, okay, well, it went from Italian people singing on their porches, right? On their balconies of their buildings to like, okay, same crap.
Yeah.
You know? And so maybe that's part of the reason why people don't want to talk about it, because there was no catharsis at the end, because you're just like,
yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying.
That was it, you know.
Yeah,
that was the same, you know. And so maybe that's what it is. So, but that makes it maybe hard to know what to say about. So maybe you do repress it as a collective or something. Well, that was kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And certainly in the United States, it was very divisive. You know, that was business as usual too.
Mm-hmm.
Political opportunism from everybody, economic opportunities we talked about before.
Yeah.
Political opportunity. So maybe like people got robbed of the sense that we went through something heroically together. It never resolved that way.
Yeah.
And so like to go back, I mean, for people who have lost and things like that, of course, it's painful, but maybe for a lot of people who didn't even necessarily have any losses as much personally, you can be affected by the losses of other people, of course. But you know, on a personal level, you just kind of like feel like, well, okay, that was kind of, eh. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to make any sense at all, but I was talking to some students today. And I was presenting some Buddhist philosophy in one of my classes. And then I just made this analogy. It came up like this thing, business as usual, samsara. Business as usual, it's samsara, you know? And the United States has its version of samsara. So we lived through like this whole like AI thing. AI, what's it going to do? What's it going to do, AI? Mm-hmm. You know, what's it going to be? And in the end, you realize it's going to be the same crap. You know exactly what it's going to do, you know? And I started hearing about businesses, and what they're going to do is they're programming the AIs to recognize flow patterns in their, like Wendy's was going to do this, the fast food chain in the United States was going to do this, where they're going to start fluctuating their prices based on demand.
Yeah, surge pricing.
Throughout the day, they're going to surge it like they're an Uber or something. And like, that's what AI is going to do. It's going to drive you out of work if you're in a fragile position. It's going to like be used to make more money. So there's this, I don't know if that analogy makes any sense. It's going to probably be used to make some porn. Drive the porn stars out of work, you know? So you're like, okay, it's like, what's this thing? What's it going to do? And you're like, it's the culture. You know what it's going to do. It's going to be used to make some more money for some people, right? They'll rig their things. They'll fire some people. They'll optimize this. They'll figure out ways. I guess they're doing it with rent too. They're getting AIs to look for rental patterns. so they can charge more or less, drive people's rents around, a bunch of crap like that.
Right.
So that might be the downer in the episode, but I was just like, okay, I think that's maybe part of what this is. You know, you look at that, there's these like, in that case, you know, AI isn't a tragedy. It's just this weird thing that swept through or is sweeping through. What's it going to be? And all the euphoria around it and the doubt and the this and that. And you're like, well, you kind of know what it's going to be, you know? And so I don't know about that on that. Do we agree on that social level? I don't know. Do you feel like you just watched the culture just repeat itself? Because it wasn't really shaken in any way. The culture just said, okay, this event happened. Let's just do our normal thing. Is that how you feel about it? Or do you feel differently about that?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, on one hand, culture is an idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, culture is an idea. And what is our culture? We're a work first culture. We're a self-sacrifice last culture.
Interesting. I don't know what to think about that.
Mm-hmm. Like, people are you're being sold things so that you will purchase them because you deserve it, right? YOLO, case in point, right? It's you're told to do charity, at least from, you know, and I really mean no offense to anybody who knows me, who gives money to charity. I'm not saying anything. I'm also not being a pussy by like prefacing my statement. Because some people will be, you know, whatever. But I'm just going to keep it real. Like, I know plenty of people who give tons of money to charities, but they're charities that mean something to them. Mm-hmm. They're not just random charities. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, because I had this disease, I want to give to that thing. So, because that has value to me. Okay, I'm glad that you're giving to charity for sure. But like, okay, it means something to you, but then something else means something to somebody else. So now do we have to have somebody else who has money to have the tragedy happen to them so that they can give to that thing? I'm just saying, like, my teacher Andre says this all the time. He's like, you love your kids. Do you love all kids? Yeah. You love your husband. Do you love all husbands? Probably not. You know, like, your act of compassion is extended to your immediate circle and no further.
Well, that's where people make their sacrifices. They do make sacrifice a lot within their immediate circle. Yeah.
But I'm saying, as a culture, that's not discussed, you know, like, that's not really kind of.
Yeah.
Talked about. So that's the idea of a culture on a whole. But, you know, again, just going back to my point, like, I just feel like as a culture, there was a trauma. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And to your point, we are not discussing it because on the outside, on the veneer, it looks like business as usual. People got richer. Some people got poorer. There's a whole lot of bad things that happen in the middle, but we are right where we are, you know, about 4 years ago, wondering who's going to win, you know, Trump or Biden, is, you know, stuff at the border. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It's just an eerie, repetitious cycle. And I'm going in myself and the conversations I'm having, I'm thinking, No, you can never be the same person twice, no matter how hard you try. You can't motivate yourself to do something that you used to do for the same reasons. You have to find a new reason to do that now. Even if it's the same thing and the same actions that get you to that same point, you can't do that. It won't work again. You already know the answer to that question. So there's no curiosity. There's no passion. There's no drive to work you to the other side.
You know, it's funny about that from that level. It just hit me. Like, even after the financial collapse of 2008, more shit happened in the aftermath of that.
Mm-hmm.
There was Occupy Wall Street.
Yep.
Right. There were all those kinds of things. This is like, kind of like, everything is kind of like flittering away around this. Right.
It's eerie.
But your kind of idea is more like, this was a trauma and we're talking about essentially repression again.
Yeah. Right? Yes.
We're trying to develop maybe a theory of why things got repressed. I threw out maybe part of the theory might be like, well, maybe because it just was in the end, like, just not a very satisfactory experience. And so there's nothing, you know, if you come out of something and you feel like, okay, I did a good job. There was a heroic thing. You know, we went through something together, like good emotions coming out of the end of it.
Yeah.
You know
what I mean? Yeah.
But I don't think the good emotions came out at the end. There was good feelings of being able to go out again, see people again, socialize again. But it wasn't like, there wasn't a lot of healing.
No.
On the deeper level. Like, no,
not yet. Now you're feeling
like, got like, okay, well, there was like some drug companies made some money, and you know, some real estate companies made some money. And
online retailers made money.
Amazon got bigger, you know, whatever it was. And there was no community catharsis, right?
No.
That we kind of are on the same page with that.
Yeah.
So maybe that why is a like on a collective level why people don't want to look back.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you get to the individual level, then it becomes how many people are carrying the impacts of that forward or something, you know, were people affected by a confrontation with mortality that they saw all around them, or were people affected by fragility of things that speak to people, you know, were people like what you were talking about throughout the beginning and throughout the whole thing, this idea like, okay, I'm going to relook at my life. We started this podcast during the pandemic, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's an idea. Maybe we're going to look, people are going to be looking at their lives in new ways or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is like, did that happen on an individual level? You know, and I guess that becomes like a case by case question because it's not going to happen for everyone.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, to what extent did that happen? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking about like our discussing this, I was like, you know, it's interesting. Like when I look at people's lives around me, nothing happened too much. Like, you know, most people I know didn't carry that much out of that, to be, if I'm honest about it.
Mm-hmm.
But you might feel differently, you know, or you may be hearing different things for people. But to me, it looks like, you know, same stuff, you know, same things. People are kind of like, there wasn't like the existential, quakes that went through. There were little windows where this like seemed like, okay, are people going to go back to work for the same amounts of money? You know, are people going to relook at their lives and decide they want to do different things and all that? But I don't know. I was thinking the grooves of the culture run deep on a collective level and how it impacts on an individual level. And I was just like, I don't know. I don't know if like, I don't know if that many of the carriages that are running in those ruts got toppled all of the ruts and went someplace else. I don't know if that really happened or not. But what do you think? I mean, you're talking with people about this.
Yeah.
They impacted? Did people change in major ways? I can't tell.
So I could say that some people had brought this to my attention today, so I'm very appreciative of that. They said that people who they work with, at least in their company, which is good size, it's a global company, are more, take vacations more regularly. You don't know. So they're more willing to travel. And then if I think about the boom in the travel industry after the stuff started to get lifted was huge. There was people, you know, I don't have all the numbers in front of me because I didn't, and part of it's because I didn't know where this conversation was going to go. You know, that like there was increased numbers in travelers in 2022 and 2023 than going from 2018 to 2019. Do you know what I'm saying? So like there was a bit of an exuberance, you know, on that front.
We began to go out to like experience the world again.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that's a positive kind of change, is people like taking the moment, especially after you don't know that it's coming. But again, I look at this as like as a trauma. And so what are the ways, and this is the question that I want to talk about just before we kind of finish here, because this is a little bit of what I wanted to do from a psychological perspective, from a practitioner's perspective or whatever, what are the ways in which people respond to traumas, and what are the ways in which that we can help them work through them, if you will, you know what I'm saying? So I'm asking you, and then
I'll let you go first because I want to hear what you have in mind with this, and I'll tell my answer around yours, around this particular issue.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to make it broad. I want to make it just kind of trauma in general.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think because the point of what you were talking about earlier is that on one hand you have a communal experience, which can look like something from the outside as the same as it was before, because the powers that be are still in the same positions that they were. The pieces on the chessboard are still in the same spots. But what I'm saying is that like they've been moved around. They just look the same now because they've been pushed back to those positions. But that is the way there is different. You know what I'm saying? And so because of this, on an individual level, I don't want to like say, well, okay, obviously we know traumas are different, right? You know, and I'm not going to qualify that statement for anybody to get mad at me to say that one thing is worse than another. We're going to just call them traumas and whatever, you know, but everyone's going to react to them a little bit differently. But from a trauma standpoint, when someone comes in to the clinic and they have trauma, I think one of the first things that I will ask that person is, have they done any processing with it first? Because sometimes it doesn't even come up until later in conversation because they forgot it. Many times. You know, you ask somebody something about their life. Oh, tell me more about that time period. And then and inevitably, Eric, as you know, because you've seen far more patients than I have in this lifetime, you know? But like it comes up, they go, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Again, to your point, repression. So the first thing in my mind that you have to do is bring it up to the light of your awareness. This is like, you know, the way I view awareness is that it's a light shining around like a, you know, flashlight or a spotlight or something like this. So you have to bring it to the level of your awareness first, just for you to be conscious that that thing exists. And once it's conscious that it exists, then you have to really take stock as to how deep is this thing sunk in you? Is it in your body super deep? Does it live in your mind super deep? Is it both? You know, and how much is it living with you? As in specifically, does it or how does it affect your activities of daily living, your thinking, the way you interact with people? On a conscious level, we can't know unconscious until it becomes conscious. So hence my first point, you know what I'm saying? So you got to find how it lives within your life. And then once you have that, those kind of two things down, in my opinion, then you can begin to start to work towards remedies on making it less prevalent for you in such a way that you can find space to eventually learn the lesson that is there for you, get some insight, make some changes, or, you know, changes that even have to be bad. It could be good. And then you can let it go, you know, and let it go in such a way that that thing, as we always say, you take your life as your teacher. You can take that experience as a teacher for you, even a tough one. You know, there's still lessons in there for you. Easy for me to say in this position right now, because, you know, I've worked through some things and I haven't worked through other things that people have had that I haven't, and vice versa, you know, but this is generally the process that I would be looking at.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of how to frame this thing. Yeah. I suppose I admire like a Carl Jung type person. So I'll go back to his kind of way of talking, and maybe the things you figure out, once you know, like you're talking about, like you have to identify that this affected the person, they have to identify that for themselves, right?
Yeah.
I can remember with my psych mentor, Michael, him saying to me one time, well, you know, you were abused, right? And just going, was I, you know, was I or was I not? And then, you know, if you described it, you'd be like, well, that dude was abused.
Mm-hmm. You know?
But from that subjective vantage point, sometimes you don't think of it that way. Right. It doesn't come through in that way.
Yeah.
So then I suppose, you know, it's what you're talking about. You have to have the recognition of that to go and say, oh, yeah, this was something that was significant enough for me that it made an impact. And I am still holding that in some way. So I'm going to identify that as a thing now and really put a name on it, put an arrow on it and say it's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess my natural instinct would be to go, again, following in this more Carl Jung kind of logic. That wasn't the Carl Jung thing. This is this thing of going, okay, so how did this affect this person?
Mm-hmm.
It's damaged their self-esteem. We've talked about this issue kind of recently with some of the stuff we were talking about, but did it damage their self-esteem? Well, then that's the thing we pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
We have to reestablish a sense of their own self-esteem because this trauma undermined that. How do we do that? Well, we get their personality to feel more resilient. We get their personality to feel like they're more engaged. They feel more self-sufficient and so on. That's the way to respond to trauma, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes maybe it's more of a situation where there's so much repressed emotion and repressed memories, thoughts, you know, going on in that it's like eating them away in some way, creating a lot of physical symptoms, creating a lot of disturbances in their behavior. Okay, now we got to identify that.
Mm-hmm.
That's maybe a different methodology, a different modality, you know, somatization, mm-hmm. physical symptoms out of the emotional traumas, right? Or emotional or intellectual, whatever it is. I had kind of a funny realization about this. I was sharing with someone dear to my heart where I was like, you know, we say emotional, but there's always intellectual stuff in the emotional trauma too. There's mm-hmm. thoughts and ideas there,
mm-hmm.
not just emotions. There's something weird about even how we talk about that. We break things up as if they're separate. You have your thoughts and your emotions. Why would they be separate? You know, to be zen about it, why would they? So we have a cultural tendency to do that. It's your emotions. It's your emotions that are repressed. There's thoughts and ideas in those emotions too, mm-hmm. right? You know, they're not just pure emotion. You know, there's memory and there's thoughts, concepts that you have associated mm-hmm. with that. So, you know, maybe that's another way of thinking about that, to try to like get rid of those things that are somatization stuff. maybe for some people, they walk away with a feeling of like inauthenticity. It's maybe more like the Carl Rogers thing that we like to talk about, right? Mm. So their response to their trauma is they walk away with a loss of the sense of themselves mm. and who they really are.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They feel confused about who they are. They feel confused about where their core is, right? They feel confused about who they should be and what they should be pursuing and what their destinies are. That's a kind of a trauma, right? What do? You have to go back with the person, help them reconnect to that part of themselves, mm-hmm. right? So like Carl Rogers' idea there is you set a safe environment for them,
mm-hmm. yeah.
right? Where they can feel mm-hmm. understood, accepted, but it can be honest. And then that will help the person start to heal from that, right?
Mm.
And that will allow them to reattach, to reconnect to who they are, right?
Mm.
Maybe for some people, what happens is they walk away with a sense of like nihilism. They walk away with a sense of meaninglessness. Right. They walk away with a sense of like anomie, if we want to use like fancy terms, right? Purposelessness.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That I think is that's the real where Jung is talking Jung. You know, people who walk away with that feeling. Well, then they need to catch some other part of themselves that either gives them maybe intellectual meaning, that's the right word, intellectual, emotional mm. meaning, things they believe in, you know, or maybe they tap into parts of themselves that are rich and creative and deep. And that allows them to find parts either that the one's more existential. I'm going to create meaning. I'm going to figure out what's important to me, what matters. This is how I'll build my sense of like solving that problem. I won't mm. live in this sea of like, okay, disillusionment,
mm-hmm.
right? I'll rebuild what I think has actual meaning. And this will become the core of who I am, right? It's kind of an existential approach. Or maybe the creative approach, like might be more like a Carl Jung, you know? I'm going to tap to the deeper creative psycho-spiritual impulses within me. And then that will be how I refine my mm-hmm. meaning and my purpose, right? So I kind of threw out possible consequences. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
My way of thinking about it. Are you holding everything inside that's eating you away? Physically, emotionally, distorting your behavior? That's repression. That right. has to come out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is it more like it ruined your sense of your own self-confidence? That's maybe like an Alfred Adler thing psychologically. I need yeah. to refine that. Did it go through and, you know, make me lose my sense of myself and who I truly am? That's a Carl Rogers thing. You need to find that. Tap into the core of who you are again. Did it leave you disillusioned and without meaning and you're flat or you're lost in that sense? You need to either rebuild a meaning, existential humanism, or you go through and you tap into the richer parts of being, mm. the creative parts, you know, those deeper parts that people have. I know there's some propositions, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess if it's around this, then that's probably the same proposal.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Right.
The only thing that gets me in the end, Daniel, is I'll say one last thing, because I think there's a fascination with trauma in the culture right now, and I don't think it's wrong. I think it's good,
mm-hmm.
right? We're acknowledging that this is a thing, right? We both had our experiences. I had things growing up. I had illnesses. You had things where you had to go off to combat. We've all had our experiences that were, you know, traumatic, right? That were deeply affecting. But the other part that always occurs to me with this, again, speaking from a personal place with this, from my own experiences, it can't all be directed towards the past either, right?
Yeah.
It has to be something where you start to say, okay, how should my life look now to me?
Mm-hmm.
And how do I make it go to where it looks now? Because then otherwise, I don't think just focusing on the traumas from the past or something solve anything. I think it has to translate into something where your life transforms. That's Tantra, right? The world has to transform to match something truer for who you are, right? And until that happens, again, my own subjective experience with this, we talked about before, none of this will feel right.
Mm.
So maybe that's something to like think about with patients too, you know? What would be the vision of this that would make you feel right?
Sure.
Because otherwise, I think you still are going to always have these lingering senses of trauma because you feel like somehow it's holding you back or you've never really found, you know, the life that you would want to have now.
Right.
And that's what I thought about with the pandemic thing, because I think the gears got shaken a little bit, but I don't know if they went off the rails, all the gears relocked. But maybe for some people, what you're describing is the gears relocked, but like that doesn't feel comfortable for them anymore.
Right.
You know, those gears went back. Okay, I guess I can live in these gears, but now I have to reframe what I think my life is.
Mm.
That never happened. I know, does that make sense what I'm trying to say there?
It does. I think it doesn't give enough credit to the shock of the initial, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, we don't know what tomorrow is going to be. We don't know how long we're going to be in this thing for. Some people who have financial stuff, we don't know how long you're going to be without work for.
Are immediate things where you're struggling just on like a level of just surviving,
right? Right. And it's not something that you're experiencing on your own, that you're experiencing it with a whole swath of other people simultaneously, you know?
Part of what was interesting to you, were you kind of interested in like how this affected people more long-term? Like, one, the idea like there are repressed feelings and thoughts around this. And so maybe that's something that we have to look at again as a culture. That's part of what you're talking about, yeah, right?
For sure.
And then maybe the other part is, for some people, it made them question things, but did that like translate into activity that actually changed the trajectory of what they were doing?
Yeah, I mean, that's only an individual can answer that.
Yeah, that's, you know, but I mean, are you seeing that? Is that what people are asking clinically about themselves? You're talking to the patient, like, yeah, I was shaken up by that. I don't know, that's not that so much.
So to your point about like trauma always causing you to look back, mm-hmm. You're looking back in order to live now for more freely.
Oh, that would be therapeutic activity, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't have anything against that at all. I understand that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that like people are coming in or they're talking about this and they're feeling run down, irritable, frustrated, sad, whatever. And then once I start to kind of like scratch and start to ask deeper questions, I'm looking at their experience from this as a time, you know, and the more time that goes on, the more stuff that gets lumped in, because we haven't cut it. We haven't said, okay, this part is finished. It's still happening. The wound is still moving on because it's not done. Technically, it's not done, right? Like it's not finished. So you're without that sense of finality, it's just an open-ended thing that just continues to unfold in the way that it is. And to your point, from a societal level, it's like, nah, business as usual. People buying shit, people selling shit.
I mean, I can't say like people's lives look that different. They look like the same lives that human beings had in this culture before the pandemic. It didn't change that much. Looks like the same thing.
On the outside. On the outside.
That's the question, I guess, right?
Right.
You know.
Yeah. And my take is that on the inside it is.
Okay.
And that when
I'll definitely bite. I'll definitely buy in and go, okay, yeah, I can see what you're talking about. Obviously, we agree on that part.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only thing I guess I'm adding to it is like, again, this is a very particular way in which I see things. But like, again, if this was a shaking experience, then, you know, part of it is like, did it make you the existential part? Did it make you rethink your life? Because that was what was being talked about at the time.
Yes.
People are going to rethink their lives. They're going to rethink what has meaning. I don't know the answer to this. How many people did that?
I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer.
That's an interesting question. How many people got shaken up enough where they were like, okay, I'm going to do my life differently? Because it was talked about.
But
right.
I think some of the static comes from the observation and the answer and those two things not aligning. Is that they did reflection. And they said, maybe, yes, I would like to do my life different, or I'd like to make some changes. And either they didn't make changes, or the ones they made haven't really satisfied the things that they said they wanted to. When they said, if this thing ever ends, I'm going to do blank. I'm going to be blank. I'm going to spend more blank. Do you know what I'm saying? That discrepancy is something that has not been closed back up. It has not resealed. You know what I'm saying? And so there's been some positive changes for some, but others who are, again, looking to remotivate themselves to do the same thing they were doing before, and they can't make it happen because they're not that same person. And I think part of the reason is that they haven't reconciled those pieces that were changed during that time period, you know? And I just have, you know, on the outside, society is going to continue to move forward as it does, because again, there are market forces that are pushing it forward, and people have responsibilities and so on and so forth. As adults, they're going to do X, Y, and Z. And it's not to like over therapize the population, you know, in a sense that like, oh, everybody needs to have therapy or whatever the case is, but also everybody should, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, not to say that you need it, but it's to say that like, if you're not working on you, then who is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. on the Shower Curtain of Wisdom, there's an Yalom quote that goes something like, if people don't show curiosity about themselves, that's always a bad sign, or something like that.
Right. You know? Right.
I guess I was so affected by the Carl Rogers thing in this too. If we want to say this was a traumatic event, jostled people's existential humanist roots or something.
Yeah.
And I'm always sensitive to the point like, well, if that's the case, this stuff should look different on the other end. And this just doesn't look different on the other end, whatever that means for you as a person, you know, however you would change the trajectory of what you were doing, then, you know, then nothing too much happened yet. Now you're saying that some of what happened was things got re-put into the bottle, right? We put the toothpaste back in the tube and
yeah. You know,
so maybe like the conclusion on the episode is we went through like kind of how people would feel about trauma. Maybe the people who are listening can go, huh, do I feel like any of these things happened to me?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do I feel like I have something that I didn't acknowledge, like what you were bringing up. I need to shine the light on myself and see.
Yeah.
And the other parts would be, oh, am I carrying things around inside me that I'm not knowing, or did I affect my self-esteem, or did it like disturb my identity sense of myself and who I want to be, my more ideal versions of who I am, or did it break my sense of meaning?
Yeah.
I mean, those are all things you can look at, right?
And because we're not that far removed from it, it's hard. And because there's not like, so again, we'll use 9/11 as an example. 9/11 happened on 9/11. And on 9/12, there was no more 9/11. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's it. And so then we move forward. And yes, there's wars and there's whatever, but you can see that that thing bled into the culture, you know,
yes,
and created numerous rifts. But it part of it is that you're able to have, you know, pre and post. And so what I'm saying is that this event is an elongated event. It's kind of like, you know, negative scenario that was prolonged over a year. Was it a year? Can we call it a year? Can we call it a year and a half? Is it two? Is it two and a half?
I know we're wrapping this up, but there did have some impacts on some of the people that I know that were kind of strange. Like, I knew some people who were really sciencey.
Oh,
and the medicine got so weird that it left them like, okay, I guess I don't believe in science and medicine the same way I used to. I mean, there were impacts.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't thinking about that before, but I know people who like, they came out like they're Mr. like believe the science and whatever. And then when this all panned out in the end, they were like, well, wait a minute, what just happened here? This wasn't that great. Medicine didn't do what it was supposed to do.
Yeah.
There was damage being done and not the effects that were promised, and money was made and they were disillusioned.
Right.
So maybe it's another example of like people's personalities being affected. I think you're probably right then. You know, maybe I have to rethink that too. And I have to, you know, that's what I'll maybe take away from this episode too.
Yeah.
About that myself and go, okay, what did happen to the people around me who maybe were more affected by this?
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Cool. I mean, and like I said, part of it is just, it's to push, you know, you gave it, you know, a number of different psychological schools of thought or psychologists application for therapies. Maybe
different kind of impacts or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the first thing that we both agreed on in all of them is this has to be brought to the level of your awareness. Without that, you cannot start anything. You cannot begin anything.
And that's your fundamental point behind the episode. Your fundamental point is like, and I got it in the beginning, but it gets clarified as we go. It's like just to ring a bell to say, hey, listen, something really major happened and people are not dealing with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of it's on that collective level, whatever the reasons are, we speculate on reasons why that might be. And some of that's more on an individual level.
Yes.
And so maybe it's time we start really looking at what that actually did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the you know, we do like to get conversations beginning for folks. And I'm legitimately interested in hearing, because this is not something that I walked around with. It just kept coming. Hey. And then eventually I'm like, okay, I'm going to observe it. I'm going to make, you know, public comment on it, and we're going to have a conversation and see how it goes. And here we are. So
yeah, with the main point of like, this hasn't been processed.
Correct. This hasn't been processed because it's quite, because it hasn't been ended, to be totally honest. It's like, we're just trying to sweep it under the rug. And like, now there's a big old bump and we're tripping over that bump in the rug. Cause it's just like, you know, you can't avoid it.
Yeah. That's an interesting point. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Mm-hmm. All right, sweet. Well, we are interested in hearing people's thoughts. So as I mentioned earlier, and you know, for people who've been rocking with us, if you're not a subscriber, definitely please do so. It helps us out in the algorithm for sure to reach more people. So if you're, you know, a fan or a hater, you know, we'll take both of your subscriptions. It's equally as important to us. So, you know, please like, comment, subscribe, hit us up in the comments, like I just said, but on Instagram, Jin and Tantra Podcast, email Jin and Tantra. We do respond. We do get back to people, you know, it's, you know, we're brought to you by us. You know what I'm saying? Like, we are our sponsors.
Like Sesame Street or something. The letter Y and...
That's right. Yeah. The letter Y and random dark chocolate. You know, like stuff found in the couch, in your pocket. It's all good. It's literally antimicrobial. So anyways, Eric, thank you so much for coming on with me.
Yeah, thanks, Daniel. Interesting proposition to say, hey, let's like relook at this and see what the lingering effects are. Maybe we aren't waiting. That's the quintessential thing you're trying to get at.
Yeah, exactly. So
see what people think, right?
Yeah. See what people think. If we get enough response from folks, we'll be happy to do like a follow-up episode to kind of share some of people's experiences. So, you know, please do hit us up. We really do appreciate it. Eric, as always, thank you so much. Audience, thank you so much for listening. Give us all the love that you can. We definitely appreciate it. It intensifies, it amplifies our motivation to do what we've been doing even without motivation. So imagine, imagine more. My God, I couldn't even do it. Anyways, for Eric, this is Daniel. We'll catch you guys in the next one. Peace.
You to get together. I want you to get together. Put your hands together one time. I want you to get together. I want you to get together.